This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. And I just noticed that my batteries are down to half. I'm really hoping I have enough battery to make it home. If we don't, I may need to re-record this tomorrow, but we're gonna go by faith. I think I have plenty of space on the recorder, but the battery, that's the question. Oh, anyway, it's been a good week. It's been a long week. Lots of things trying to get done this week, but it's been a good week. Good week. Got a lot of things done. I needed to get done. Moving forward. Moving forward. It is Talk Like Shakespeare Day tomorrow. And I don't quite have the costume finished yet, but I am within striking distance. So I've got a couple hours worth of work, and I got to get the podcast uploaded, got to get my 500 words in, then I can get to work on that. I have just a few more little items to make and get attached and ta-da, ta-da, but I think we're going to be okay. We'll fake it. There's certainly some of this outfit that is put together with safety pins at this point, because I just wanted to get on to the next thing and, you know, make sure. I have this thing called wearable. It's wearable. Once I get to it's wearable, I move on to the next thing that's part of the costume, and I've been, you know, scrambling forward. So some of it is wearable with safety pins, which is fine because they don't show. This costume was a little complicated. Interestingly enough, so I think I'm good. Got my little speech memorized. I've memorized a soliloquy from the play that shall not be named. And I actually have to look up the name of the soliloquy, so I have that. So I got that under control. I have my insult generator cards in, so that's under control. So I have a little insult generator I can hand out to people so they can talk like Shakespeare all day and insult people. So you basically pick a word from each column and go. I am getting more rattle in my front end than normal, but that's because I need tires on my car, my front end. I need tires. I got a little wiggle in my front end, and I'm sure it's tires. So if my tires potentially come off in the middle of this podcast, there will be great excitement. But I'm getting ready to take the Walmart guys up on their offer. Because I was talking to the automotive guys and telling them, when are you guys going to open up? What is it? And one of them kind of winked at me and made a kind offer. And if they're not getting open soon, I may have to take them up on that. We'll see. So anyways, writing is going fine. I'm on track this week, even with all the costume making. So, you know, I've hit my mark every night, and I think what I've put down is worth reading, and so that's good. People are finishing up book 14 and getting back to me with input, so that's good. I had a nice little surprise. One of my beta readers earlier in the week had written me and said, well, I finished the book. And I said, well, it's about time for breakfast. I said, I have to have Saturday open. You got time for breakfast on Saturday? And he said, well, it's turkey season. And he said, so I may be out in the woods. He said, if I get a turkey, he said, then I'd be available for breakfast. He said, but that may not be, you know, for a little bit here. So I said, well, let's do this. I will just hold it open for a couple of days. We'll see how it goes. Well, he got his turkey today. So yay. So we're having breakfast. So that's fun. What costume? Costume. Woo. There's been some interesting moments with this costume. So yeah, but coming to the end of it, we're almost there. Just got a few more things to do. We're almost there. Should be able to get those done tonight, and then we'll be fine. I think I have mentioned that there is a holiday coming up, Blame It on Someone Else Day. It is the first Friday the 13th of every year. In this case, in 2021, it will be August the 13th, which is, of course, a Friday. So I think I had mentioned I made some cards, has a little QR code, take a picture of it, goes to a survey, you know, does the survey. What should Phil wear on Blame It on Someone Else Day? So I've got it now. So yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be really, really fun. And the great thing about on Blame It on Someone Else Day, especially since I've done a survey, is no one is ever going to know whether the suggestion actually came in from the survey or came from me. And I will always be able to just blame it on someone else. I'll just say, well, I did a survey, you know, people made suggestions. So there you go. So that's fun. I think this is probably, the Talk Like Shakespeare Day will probably be, I think, for multiple weeks now, since I am firmly into the time when I was doing a costume every week, and a lot of them were good, fun costumes, too. So, you know, like next week's is Star Wars, which is R2-D2-2. That's a fun costume. The next week after that is Mother's Day, which is a fun costume. I think the one after that is will be new. It's Dance Like a Chicken Day, which is fun. And so I was just looking at Donut Day is coming up, which is the first Friday in June. You know, and oh, Paper Bag Day is coming up. I may have to go and kind of restructure things a little bit, but for Paper Bag Day, I mean, I have the frame work done now, so even if I have to replace the big Japanese lantern and re-glue a bunch of paper bags on it, that's not going to take that long. So I think I'm firmly in the flow now, and a lot of them are just fun. I do have Magna Carta Day, where it's a knight's costume. It's okay. It's just okay. I may end up replacing that with something else. You know, all in all, I think we're in a good flow at this point. And I had done an International Cat Day Part 2 when I dressed up like Catwoman because my son-in-law didn't think I would do that and go to Walmart. But that's Blame It on Someone Else Day. So that's covered. You know, and once we get into the latter part of the year, I mean, I've got it under control. So, yay. So it's been a little bit of a push to get all these costumes done. But, I think we're in pretty good shape. So, anyways, I had some notes, but I'm almost home here, and I don't know how much the battery is going to last on this, so I may just hop up and go sideways. I just listened to a clip from the Dark Horse podcast, which is Brent Weinstein and Heather Haye. And they were talking about creativity and the function of creativity. And she was reading from a guy who was talking about creativity, who was putting forth the suggestion that creativity can be a hedge against getting involved with, they didn't say this, but the idea is getting involved with deranged ideas. You know, with getting involved with zealotry, that creativity can be a hedge against that. Whether you're making furniture or you're building something or you're trying to figure out a hypothesis like a scientist or you're writing or you're drawing. Although, for people who are in the communication arts, poetry, novels, paintings, those types of things. They were saying that can be corrupted. One of the interesting things was this guy had made the claim that those who fail as artists sometimes end up heading in bad directions because of their disappointment at failing at artists, which is interesting. And he specifically mentioned Hitler, that Hitler was a would-be artist. And in this guy's opinion, if Hitler had been successful as an artist, he might not have gone the route that he did, which is interesting. And they were talking about this, that there's something about creativity and being in the flow of creativity that inoculates people and that helps them better stay out of the way of devouring ideas, we'll say. I don't know if that's not a term they used, but stay back from being controlled by those types of things. And they were saying that they felt like, what did they attribute that to? Something like it helped the brain, or it helped, you know, keep you focused on other things. It gave you something to do. They felt like maybe it was a relief from falling into the trap of boredom, but that, you know, in our day and age, when there's so much distraction and so much distraction and so much distraction, that distraction could, you know, keep people from being creative. And then in the process of keeping people from being creative, they end up getting sucked into all sorts of things. I'm getting the mail. One moment. I'm hoping one of these little packages is my gathering foot. My gathering foot. There's this thing called a gathering foot. And it's magic. It is just absolute. I think that's it. Whoop, whoop. I need that tonight. It is just absolutely magic. You feed material into this thing and it just gathers it. Boom. I used the gathering foot that I had for the National Absurdity Day costume. And I mean, I gathered 40 yards of tulle into this big wraparound skirt I made that was just a mountain of tulle. And I gathered the whole thing in like 45 minutes. It was just, I thought, wow, I like this a lot. I don't know what I did with my other gathering foot. I was looking for it yesterday and I was gonna, and it's gone. It's like, what? It's not in the sewing machine. It's not, I mean, this is unusual for me. I usually put things in their place. But for some reason, I didn't. And now I've paid for it. I've spent another $8, $10 getting a gathering foot. But it's in, and I'm going to use it tonight. Anyways, so they were talking about this creativity and how that they feel like creativity is a hedge against boredom and a hedge against falling into these destructive ideologies. And Heather Hain actually went on a little bit of a side tangent talking about that she never allowed her children to say that they were bored. She said, because maybe perhaps older in life, people are in such circumstances that they're unable, you know, to do other things besides just consume, and that in that, you know, they can get bored. But she said for children, she said there's just no excuse for a child saying they're bored. There's just so much that they have the potential to do. And it's interesting because when I was raising my daughter, whenever she would say, I'm bored, I would look at her and say, sweetie, there are no boring times. There are only boring people. oh, Dad. And I would say, you have plenty of things that you can find to do to entertain yourself. You don't need someone always entertaining you. So anyways, so they were talking about all that, and it's all very interesting. But I thought again that, for me at least, there's an easier explanation than, you know, boredom? And how does, what is it about creativity that seems to hedge us against that? And I would maintain that all truly creative stuff, any kind of things that's mechanical, that you're working with your body and ideas are coming to you and you're working things out and you're making stuff and you're meeting the challenges and working and you know, getting inspirations, that all of that flow, is coming from God, and it has a certain feeling to it. It has a certain surprise to it and a certain warmth to it and a certain fun and a engagement to it. And I would maintain that there's life there and there's spirit there. And if you are creating, painting, writing, crafting, all those things, even in scientific endeavors where you're trying to solve a problem, if you're engaged in those kind of endeavors where there is nothing and then there is something, that in the process of that, you do get engaged with the Holy Spirit, whether you're a believer or not, and you do get engaged with that flow of creativity from God. And I think one of the things about that that does then help people to stay away from these weird destructive ideologies is because they're used to a feeling. They're used to a feeling and an environment that is spirit and not flesh. And so when they do brush up against the flesh and these destructive ideologies, it doesn't feel right. And they have a tendency to lean away from that because it feels like a counterfeit. Whereas, you know, if you're just invested in all the destructive flesh and all the news and all the claims and counterclaims and anger, if you're invested in that, you're used to feeling that internally. And so when something else comes along, it doesn't feel that foreign. It's something that's just in the same genre and vein as what you've already been experiencing. So maybe you're not as likely to walk away from it. So I highly recommend having something creative, doing something where there was not and then there was, you know, where you bring life to something in the world. I just highly recommend that because it's just so fascinating to work through the challenges of that and to, you know, work out the details, work out the problems, make something happen. And you just, it gives you a chance to practice listening to that voice of God within you and that spirit within you that will guide you in creativity. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.